Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to talk about really the four last things, or the last judgment, the coming of our Lord. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program this week, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them and download them on your computer, and go ahead and download the Renewal Ministries app. You can listen to them really at your convenience anytime. Also want to encourage you to call in for the free booklet I'm offering on the program, Unfailing Promises, that will encourage you in this time of challenge and difficulty. The promises of God are real food. St. Peter calls them precious and very great promises. And the apostles they clung to the promises of the Lord, and gave those promises, and the grace of the Spirit gave them so much strength to endure so many trials, but to live heroic lives and to die faithful witnesses to Jesus, which is really the call for each and every one of us. Well, today, what I want to talk about is the most challenging topic this week, to talk about hell, the reality of hell. I want to read what the Catechism has to say about it, which is just echoing the teaching of the Church. And it is worth noting that nobody in the Bible talks about hell more than Jesus. Jesus did not teach on anything that was not true. And everything Jesus taught, whether it was the many warnings that he gave when he spoke very challenging stuff, which I talked about earlier in the week, he didn't hold back. He never said a word that wasn't motivated by love. Jesus is perfect love. Sometimes what you hear is that people in the church sort of edit content of Jesus' teaching because, one, they don't feel like people can handle it, or they don't agree with it anymore, or that just feels too harsh, and they make sort of therapeutic judgments about what among Jesus' words are good for us to hear or not good for us to hear. That's crazy. That's just foolish. Jesus is love itself. Everything he said was for our good. We were made by him. We were made for him. He's for us in every single way. And the teaching of Jesus is not just a culture-bound experience. We know through different ways of studying and understanding Scripture that we can learn more about it in its historical context. But you cannot reduce Jesus' consistent words and teaching simply to hyperbole or some culture-bound limitation or something that he had. When you were talking about the eternal consequences, we're talking about the last things, we're talking about the last judgment, heaven and hell, the reality of eternal life, Jesus was very clear and very direct, and we can take his words as they're presented to us in the teaching of the apostles and, of course, the history of the church. So let's jump into the Catechism and its teaching on hell. Paragraph 1033, we cannot be united with God unless we freely choose to love him. But we cannot love God if we sin gravely against him, against our neighbor, or against ourselves. Quote, he who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. That's Scripture, right? The words of John, Jesus, they say very similar things. The paragraph goes on, our Lord warns us that we shall be separated from him if we fail to meet the serious needs of the poor and the little ones who are his brethren. Very difficult teaching. It's some of the stuff I was describing earlier in the week from paragraphs or the chapters 24, 25 of Matthew's gospel. Jesus' words are very, very challenging. The parable of the talents, of the judgment on the nations, these kinds of things. To die in mortal sin without repenting and accepting God's merciful love means remaining separated from him forever by our own free choice. This state of definitive self-exclusion from communion with God and the blessed is called hell. Okay, it's a definitive state of self-exclusion. That is, when we say yes to mortal sin, mortal means, you know, deadly. We say yes to deadly sin. So this is why the church takes sin so seriously. The church isn't hung up on sin. The church is just wise about sin. The church sees the truth, and the church wants to see everybody saved and doesn't want to see one child of God caught in the foolishness of a darkened mind that leads to bondage to sin that ultimately will lead to eternal separation from God. Paragraph 1034, Jesus often speaks of Gehenna, of the unquenchable fire, reserved for those who to the end of their lives refuse to believe and to be converted, where both soul and body can be lost. Jesus solemnly proclaims that he will, quote, send his angels and they will gather and all evildoers and throw them into the furnace of fire. Now, if Jesus was just speaking hyperbole, and he says things like this quite a bit, and he gives very difficult warnings, if it wasn't true that there was eternal consequences to what he was saying, if somehow he was just speaking hyperbolically or wasn't focused, it'd be a cruel thing to do. It would be instilling in people a fear they would never need to have. It would be telling a lie, essentially. So the way people try to diminish the words of Jesus, it just doesn't pass muster. It's extremely unwise. The paragraph continues, says, and that he will pronounce the condemnation, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire. Wow. Here's a strange thought. That's love speaking. Depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire. It's a kind of love and justice that stretches our capacity. And here's where the mind, the pride of mind of man gets confounded. And we rely ultimately on our own understanding, despite the warnings of Scripture, instead of humbly receiving the precious word of God for what it is. It's God's word. Many, many people stand in judgment over God's word, and that is really unwise. And it's not a revelation of your insight or my insight if I do something like that. It's a revelation of my pride. The creature judging the creator. It's horrific. It's crazy. It's madness. Paragraph 1035. The teaching of the church affirms the existence of hell and its eternity. Immediately after death, the souls of those who die in a state of mortal sin descend into hell, where they suffer the punishments of hell, eternal fire. Again, quoting Scripture. The chief punishment of hell is eternal separation from God, in whom alone man can possess the life and happiness for which he was created and for which he longs. This is so important to see, friends. The longing we have for absolute fulfillment, for total joy, for completion, for wholeness, for peace, for integration, all of it, it comes as a gift from God, being rightly united to God. It can't come any other way. And hell is just the opposite of that. It's disintegration. It's separation. It's eternal punishment. The affirmations of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church on the subject of hell are a call to the responsibility incumbent upon man to make use of his freedom in view of his eternal destiny. Another fantastic line. Take this one to the bank. This is really important. It's a reminder of the responsibility incumbent on us. You are responsible for your ultimate destiny. You will go where you decided you wanted to go, whether you chose it directly or not. I'm in the same boat. They are at the same time an urgent call to conversion. Quote, enter the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. There's a lot of discussion about the many and the few. And like I said the other day, some, you know, theologians today are writing the New York Times and other places that basically there's no one in hell, that everybody is saved. I like the words of, I mean, nobody knows the number of people who are in hell. There's no revelation about that. But Jesus says a lot to warn us. And if there's really no consequence, he's not telling us the truth. He's playing games with us. I remember Cardinal Newman, St. John Henry Newman, said, we know this much, that Jesus said the many and the few. He said that the few cannot be more than the many, and the many cannot be less than the few. That's worth thinking about. Now, what's interesting is how Jesus not only speaks so clearly about it in Scripture, but also the saints. I mean, Jesus, through St. Catherine of Siena, through the children of Fatima, through Sister Faustina, they were all given visions of hell, very clear visions of hell. And I want to just read, for example, Sister Faustina's experience and what she wrote in her diary and what the Lord showed her. She said, I, Sister Faustina Kowalska, by the order of God, have visited the abysses of hell so that I might tell souls about it and testify to its existence. The devils were full of hatred for me, but they had to obey me at the command of God. What I have written is but a pale shadow of the things that I saw. But I noticed one thing, that most of the souls there are those who disbelieved that there is a hell. Here's what she said. Today I was led by an angel to the chasms of hell. It is a place of great torture. How awesomely large and extensive it is. The kinds of tortures I saw first, the first torture that constituted hell is the loss of God. The second is perpetual remorse of conscience. The third, the one's condition will never change. The fourth, the fire that will penetrate the soul without destroying it, a terrible suffering since it is a purely spiritual fire lit by God's anger. The fifth torture, continued darkness and a terrible suffocating smell, and despite the darkness, the devils and the souls of the damned see each other and the evil both of others and their own. The sixth torture is the constant company of Satan. The seventh torture is a horrible despair, hatred of God, vile words and curses and blasphemies. These are the tortures suffered by all the damned together, but that is not the end of the sufferings. She goes on to describe indescribable sufferings, she calls them, right? She said, I would have died. There are caverns and pits of torture where one form of agony differs from another, and I would have died at the very sight of these tortures if the omnipotence of God had not supported me. Let the sinner know that he will be tortured throughout all eternity in those senses which he made use of to sin. I'm writing this at the command of God, she said, so that no soul may find an excuse by saying that there is no hell and that nobody has ever been there. And so no one can say what it is like, how terribly souls suffer there. Consequently, I pray even more fervently for the conversion of sinners. I incessantly plead God's mercy upon them, O my Jesus. I would rather be in agony until the end of the world, amidst the greatest sufferings, than offend you by the least sin. That's the heart of a saint. She goes on in her diary, Oh, what graces I will grant to those who say the chaplet. She's talking about the chaplet of divine mercy and that Jesus wants to grant graces as we pray it. Speak to the world about my mercy. Let all mankind recognize my unfathomable mercy. It is a sign of the end times. After it will come the day of justice. While there is still time, let them have recourse to my mercy. Paragraph 965, I'm giving them the last hope of salvation. Paragraph 1032, I thirst for the salvation of souls. Paragraph 1160, I have eternity for punishing those who refuse. Yeah. So friends, the stakes are high. Now, what I just read to you from Sister Faustina is not scripture. It's not the magisterial teaching of the church. It's private revelation, but a private revelation of a saint. Of a saint who was given this by God. There's no reason for her to lie. She wouldn't be a saint if she lied. But it's also very consistent and graphic, consistent with the hard teaching of Jesus and the disciples. And so these are appeals. This is love being communicated, that we see a clear picture. And there's warnings here, and it's very important in the church for pastors and bishops and preachers and others, and teachers, to occasionally warn ourselves and the brethren, to just deliver the mail, just to communicate what Jesus communicated in the way that he communicated it and as the tradition communicates it. It's an act of love. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.